You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A member of the famous Beatles singing group, John Lennon, told his son Julian that when he died, he would get in touch with his son by using a special sign. He told his son he would send a white feather floating through a room where Julian was. McCall's magazine recently stated that Julian has not been contacted and that he is still waiting to see the floating feather. Magicians and hucksters, individuals of questionable character, and those of great fame have told friends and family members that when they die, they would contact the survivors. The celebrated magician, Harry Houdini, promised his wife that when he died, he would attempt to return from the dead. Houdini died in 1926. His loyal followers have been gathering every Halloween night since 1927 to wait his reappearance. But the verdict has always been the same. Houdini has never reappeared. No man, no magician, no prophet, including Muhammad, Buddha, and others, has ever risen from the cold grave. No one has done that. No one, with the exception of one, Jesus Christ. Months before his public and gruesome crucifixion, the blessed Savior spoke clearly of his imminent death and certain resurrection. And Jesus began, the Bible states, to teach them, his disciples, that he, Jesus, the Son of Man, had to suffer many things. He also said he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Jesus prophesied clearly that he would be killed and after 3 days rise again. Magicians and hucksters in past decades have missed their mark as they bragged about their ability to defeat the chains of death, to escape the bonds of the grave, and then to return from the dead. Every one of these fakers has failed to fulfill their boasting. But Jesus Christ was no such deluded impostor. After 3 days in the cold grave, Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said he would. By doing this, Jesus proclaimed himself totally unique and absolutely different from any and all other religious leaders. The Easter resurrection, based upon the solid facts of history recorded in the divinely inspired scriptures, provide the sure foundation for a meaningful life and a certain eternity. This message of hope, established by the rock that was rolled away from the Easter grave, dries up tears of grief at the graveside. This message provides hope in the room of the hospital deathbed. This message of divine assurance, authored in the heart of a loving God, provides assurance of pardon even to those who now consider themselves too filled with sin to be accepted by a holy God. Yes, this glorious gospel of a gracious and forgiving God makes it possible for the elderly and the retired to enjoy their final years without having to daily recount and remember the mistakes and sins of their past. The Savior at this hour, with his arms stretched wide open on the cross, is inviting you to repent of all sin. Yes, God is inviting you to reject even your most secret thoughts that are not God-pleasing. And then as you, in sincere repentance and shame, turn from these dead-end lifestyles, don't stop in the middle of the stream of remorse. Instead, turn all the way. Turn your eyes to the blessed Redeemer, who wants nothing more than to cleanse you from sin, to heal your heartache and grief, and to give you the resurrection powers of a new life. Don't ever consider yourself too bad or too saturated with sin or beyond help and hope. Look at St. Paul. He was a party to the murder of Stephen, and yet God saved him. Let this example bring hope to the many of you who write us every week from jailhouses, prison cells, and federal penitentiaries. Indeed, you may face the unpleasant fact that you may well spend the rest of your life behind bars. Even with this staggering burden hanging over your head, you can rejoice. This life is not all there is. Jesus has returned to the Father, and at this moment is preparing a place in paradise for you, and for all those who love Him, and all who trust in His soul-saving and sin-cleansing merits. Oh, I would be remiss if I did not mention the weary wife who wrote only a few weeks ago. She tells in her letter about her husband, who is a good-for-nothing run-around bum. At the marriage altar, this man pledged to God to love and care for his spouse. But now this man has sinfully broken his marriage pledges. The distraught wife writes, seeking advice and counsel as to how she is to continue if she is able. In such hours of pending despair, in days when marriage seems more like an endless hell than a harbor of happiness, then we are often driven to our knees in helplessness. In such trying times, throw all your cares upon the Savior. Cast all your cares upon Jesus, for Jesus cares for you. The true Christian faith, the faith offered by the resurrected Messiah, was never intended to be a type of shallow veneer covering an otherwise sinful, self-centered lifestyle. True Christianity is more than a varnish slopped over the rough grains of a cold, lifeless wooden faith. True Christianity is the power, yes, the vibrant power for living in the midst of difficulty. True Christianity is a living Word of God, giving life to the discouraged. True Christianity functions best, not when the sun is shining, but when the clouds of frustration begin to appear. Oh yes, my friend, when the going gets tough and when you need a power and a source of strength and hope that you can never generate from within yourself, then you need Jesus Christ. And then remember the cross and the victory of the empty Easter tomb. This is your power. This is your strength. This is your hope. And this is your life. No wonder then St. Paul, with his spiritual heart pulsing with the power of the living Word, and his sharp mind constantly refreshed through fervent prayer, even as he faced death itself from his enemies, St. Paul could still say with conviction and joy, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." St. Paul knew Jesus Christ was no fake. Jesus Christ was and is the Messiah, the one whose birth, suffering, death, and resurrection had been prophesied for many generations. And also during these days before Easter, during these weeks called the Lenten season, focus your mind firmly on the fact that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was no fluke of happenstance. This agonizing, blood-filled, hate-inspired execution was planned from eternity by God. The cross of Calvary is a living symbol of how much God really cares for you. Make a special effort, then, to attend Lenten worship services these weeks before Easter. Listen carefully and prayerfully, then, my friend, as the pastor proclaims from the pulpit how God, who is moved by indescribable love for you, had His only Son executed on the cross for you. By the Spirit of God, St. John wrote, "We know love by this, that He, that Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us." Oh, let's be honest, your life and mine, according to our standards, may not seem all that bad, but your life and mine, compared to what God expects of us, has been a terrible failure. The good we should do, we often do not do. And those things we ought not be doing, like gossiping and other terrible sins, we always seem to end up doing. Oh, wretched men, women, and children that we are, who is going to set us free from this body of death? Oh, thanks be to God, St. Paul says. Thanks be to God because He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Messiah's death we die. In the Redeemer's resurrection through faith, we shall also be raised to a new life on this earth and a new life forever in heaven. For the last 2 decades, dozens of gurus and false prophets have suddenly appeared on the scene. Their odd dress and brainwashing techniques have not gone unnoticed. Scores of youth, searching for meaning in life, have been deceived into following these Pied Pipers of deception. Like mushrooms, these parasitic false prophets appear overnight. How different it was for Jesus. His Bethlehem birth The perfect life, the horrible death, and stunning resurrection separates the blessed Redeemer from any and all other impostors. His death was the completion of God's gracious plan, clearly prophesied from of old. It was not the inevitable and surprising end of a bungling guru. In his stirring Pentecost sermon, through which 3,000 people were converted, St. Peter set the record straight for his listeners. St. Peter explained that Jesus had been no fly-by-night guru. He did not pass through the community, bilking the innocent of their savings, entrapping the youth, and fleeing ahead of the authorities like some Rajneesh. No, Jesus did not appear unannounced overnight. Centuries before his Bethlehem birth, Isaiah had prophesied, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Moses the prophet spoke, saying, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." The prophet Micah, with amazing geographical accuracy, foretold the birth of Jesus long before the event itself took place, when he said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, the one that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Oh, let the little children attending Sunday school hear from their dedicated teachers the full counsel of God. Yes, let their receptive ears hear that life-building truth that Jesus Christ was not crucified accidentally or against his will. This living word, explaining and confirming the fulfillment of prophecy, shall bolster the faith of even little children. Yes, Jesus traveled to the cross of Calvary. He walked voluntarily to the rugged altar where he offered up his sinless life. He did this for your sin and mine. Jesus was not forced. Jesus Christ was not coerced. Jesus went willingly and lovingly. He knew for months, yes, years, that his love for you would demand his death. Jesus said, "No one has taken my life from me, but I lay it down," Jesus said, "on my own initiative." "I have authority to lay my life down," Jesus said, "and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus suffered intentionally. It was God's plan, and it was his greatest act of love for you. Jesus' bloody sacrifice has washed the stench and curse of your past sins and mistakes. His bloody death gives you a new chance to start over in life. The love of Jesus Christ was revealed most dramatically when he steadfastly refused to be deterred or sidetracked from his goal of voluntary death. This love gives hope to struggling homes and strained marriages. This love shows that Jesus Christ really cares for you, your home, and your marriage. For if he has done all this, if he has gone even to the cross, shall not Jesus then also help you in all your other problems and challenges in life? Jesus' salvation suffering was not accidental. It was planned. Jesus' death and resurrection was foretold. Isaiah the prophet cried out, saying, "He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many." In his Pentecost sermon, Peter reminded his spellbound audience that King David looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. The Lenten season, the weeks from Ash Wednesday to Easter, the days from Mardi Gras through Holy Week. For some people, these days are days of joylessness. For some, these days are a time when the cold, wet blanket of abstinence and self-denial is thrown over what could otherwise be such an exciting and joy-filled life. But these weeks of blues come only when we have a false and non-biblical understanding of Lent. Consider again the words of Jesus, that he had to suffer many things, and that he had to be rejected, and that the Savior had to be killed and be raised from the dead. These words do not bring joylessness and discouragement. These holy and inspired words bring confidence. These prophetic words, which were soon to be fulfilled, establish for you and me today a concrete foundation for faith. Your hope, my friend, is not built on what you do or do not do during Lent. Instead, your hope for life and for eternity is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Begin then today to live in the power of Christ's victorious resurrection. The anxieties which bring sleepless nights into your bedroom, let them be conquered and forever killed. The worries about how you will spend your final months of retirement on this earth, let these concerns also be removed forever in the sin-cleansing blood of the Blessed Redeemer. Every worry that you are now shouldering, give them up. Hand them to Jesus. Your Savior is your burden bearer. And so, my friend, for this Lenten season, launch out not to days of gloom and doom, but launch into weeks and months of a new life with a new attitude. Make sure your Lent is different from any other Lent that you have ever experienced in your whole life. Lift up your head. Today is a new day. Your slate of sin has been totally cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus said it would be. Amen.